you have your Bibles today, open up to the book of Romans. Today we're going to be in Romans. Looking at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. That's Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And in my Bible, there's a little heading above that, and it says, Put on Christ. That's the title of the little passage, Put on Christ. It's Romans chapter 13, looking at verses 11 through 14. And the title of the sermon is, It's Time to Move On. Your future is ahead. It's time to move on. Your future is ahead. Listen to what God's Word says to us this morning. It says, And do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time. It's time to wake out of the sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the words of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your church. These are your people, God. We come here to worship you today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for all the things you've done for us so far in this new year, Lord. And we praise you for all the things that will be done. God, I know we've all come in here today with different weeks. Some of us have had good weeks. Some of our weeks have been difficult. Some of us have dealt with broken water lines and water pipes and family problems and financial problems and spiritual problems. And Lord, I pray that we leave all those things at the door. God, I pray that we be able to open our heart up right now and say, you know, whatever happened that week, that's over. We're in a new week. This is a new day, and it starts right now. I pray, Lord, that you would give us peace in our hearts, peace in our spirits. And God, I pray that you give our minds the availability to be able to hear your word and to be able to act on it today. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. So did everybody have a pretty good New Year's? Yeah, New Year's was pretty good, right? For us, it was neat. We did what we always do. You know, we popped open some sparkling grape juice because how are you going to celebrate the New Year's without a little sparkling grape juice? We played a little pool. Well, maybe a lot of pool. I think we ended around 4 in the morning. But we played a lot of pool. We played some card games. That was kind of fun, playing some card games. We ate some snacks. Not that we needed them, but we did. And we kind of brought in the New Year's in a great way. We had a lot of fun. It was really neat. And so last week I was talking about New Year's. I said, you know, resolutions, they're tough. Because we make these specific resolutions, and we do so good for such a short time, but then we fall off the bandwagon. We make all these resolutions about, I want to stop this addiction, or I want to lose weight, or I want to be more financially successful. I want to read the whole Bible in a year. And boy, those resolutions work great for 2 or 3 days, and then before you know it, you're back to doing the same old thing, right? And so I said, you know what? I challenge you to make one simple New Year's resolution. That's what I said last week. I said just one simple one. And that resolution was this. To make a change for the better. That's it. That's all you need to try to do. I said, that's your New Year's resolution. I want to try to make a change for the better. And I gave you 3 different ways to do that. I said, well, I want to challenge you with 3 different ideas how you can make a change for the better. First, to have a positive outlook on life. So many of us start the mornings out crabby. You know, we start out a little bit late for work. We start out setting the alarm clock, you know, putting snooze a bunch of times. And before you know it, we're just crabby even before the day started. So I said, start out the day and have a positive outlook in life. And what I mean by that is start talking to the Lord before you even get out of bed. Say, God, good morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me breath to wake up today. Lord, I don't know what the day has in store for me, but let me be used by you. Something simple. The second way I said, well, you can make a change this year, a simple resolution to be able to improve yourself this year, is to have a positive outlook towards the church. And I'm not talking just about the church body. I'm not talking about just the church building, but the universal church, all the people who believe in Christ. You know, some of the most difficult people to deal with might be Christians. And sometimes we are the ones that are putting them down. Telling them bad things. We're telling them how they need to improve our lives. We're not looking in the mirror at our own self, right? And so instead of worrying about discouraging people or criticizing people in the church, Let's work on building people up in the church. Let's work on encouraging people in the church. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. So let's work on that. And the last way I said, well, you can have this simple resolution to make an improvement in yourself is by loving your neighbor as yourself. We all have neighbors. We all have people at work. We all have people at home, people in our family maybe even, that are difficult to love. But you know what? We're not perfect, and we need to stop holding them to these standards of being perfect too. We need to just love them who they are for the way they are, just like Jesus loves us. And so if we can do those couple of things, we'll be able to meet that New Year's resolution. We'll be able to have this change in our life, and you'll be able to see that your life is different when you look back on it next year if you just start working on those three simple things. So kind of continuing and playing off the New Year, I thought I wanted to talk about a couple other things around the New Year. Is that, I don't know about you, but there's some stuff in 2017 that I just want to leave behind. Amen? Anybody else have any other stuff happen in 2017? I just want to leave it back there. I don't want it following me. I don't want to look back in the rearview mirror. I don't want to see it. I want it to be gone. And so, you know, if you want to move forward with your future, you've got to leave the past where the past is. You got to let the past lie. And so as I'm going to talk to you today about leaving the past behind you and moving forward into the new year, grasping a hold of that future, I want you to think about this during the message today. Would it be possible, or what would your life be like, if you left behind everything that took you away from the Lord? Think about it. Think about what your life would be like this year if you left behind everything that took you away from the Lord. Because there's things that pull us towards the Lord, and there's things that take us away from the Lord. Think about that as I read the scripture again from Romans 13, 11 through 14. God's word says, "And do this, understanding the time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, and not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." You know, in that scripture, the word time means period. It means era in Greek. And what it's talking about is this season in life that we're supposed to be able to set aside. Paul is telling us it's time for us to wake up. We've been sitting on the pews long enough. We've been listening to God's word long enough. It's time for us to get out there and start doing something with the information and the knowledge that we have. And so he says, Christians, you need to wake up. You need to stop being spiritually dead. It's not enough to just know what God's word says. We got to put that stuff into practice. And then he moves on. He says, our salvation is nearer than it's ever been before. And you know what that means is that you're closer today to eternity than you were yesterday. Somebody came to me one time and they told me, they said, "Boy, my body hurts." And I said, "Yeah, my body hurts too. I know what you mean." It seemed like up until the age of 30, I was fine. You could do anything. It didn't matter. I had a father-in-law one time. He warned me. I was helping somebody move. I picked up this recliner over one shoulder, and I jumped out of the back of the couch. I mean, I jumped out of the back of the bed of the truck. With it on my shoulder, I jumped off the tailgate. Just boom, no problem, man. I was strong as an ox. Set that thing down. He looked at me and said, "Alan, one day you're going to regret doing that." I said, "Crazy old man. What does he know what he's talking about?" Man, it was like when I woke up on my 40th birthday, my knees were popping like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had a hip. I mean, it always felt fine before. Like, Jesus, this is what it feels like at 40. When I'm 60, I'll barely be able to move. I'm telling you. And so what this is talking about is we're closer to the day of eternity than we ever been before. We're closer to being with our Lord and Savior today than we were yesterday. And so you know what that means to me? Is I better start living for God right now. I better use the rest of the days that I have to live for the Lord, because I don't know when my last day is. And so Paul's telling these people in Rome, he's saying, you better wake up. It's time to get up and focus on what Jesus has for us. And so as we leave 2017, there's some things we should leave behind. And I want to talk about those things today. One of the things I think we should leave behind that doesn't glorify God is resentments. People say resentments. Yeah, I don't know if you're like me, but most people in the world resent something. They either resent something that something's been done to them, or they resent something that they have done to somebody else. But if you think about it, most people resent something, and those resentments, they kind of stick with us. Why? Well, because resentment kind of ties to this word called unforgiveness. And you may not realize it, but the reason you're resenting that person or you're resenting what you did is because you can't forgive yourself for it or you can't forgive them for it. And the bad news about unforgiveness is this. The beautiful, beautiful scripture in Matthew chapter 6 talks about the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. The disciples are saying, Jesus, I want you to teach us how to pray. And so they pray these things. But then at the end, Matthew chapter 6 verse 15, it gets a little rough. It says that God will forgive us the same way that we forgive others. So as we move forward in 2018, I want to challenge you to leave behind all that resentment. And what I mean by that is anybody who's offended you, forget about those things that hurt you. And forgive those people who did them or said them. And if you did something to somebody else, ask them for forgiveness. But get it over with. Clean it out. In 2018, you don't need to be resenting anything. That just pulls us away from God and His people. So leave resentment in the past where it belongs. The next thing we need to leave behind is something a little bit more difficult than resentment for some of us. The next thing we need to leave behind is worries. Anybody worry? Oh yeah, we've all worried before, right? Well, you know, the great thing about worrying is they say it's like a rocking chair. You know, it gives you something to do while you're doing it, but it doesn't really take you anywhere. Isn't that the truth? I mean, sitting in a rocking chair is relaxing. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't really get you anywhere. Kind of like an exercise bike. They're great and all, but you could pedal and pedal and pedal. Sweat can come down your face, but you're in the same spot you started in. Man, that's a lot of work for not going anywhere. That's what worrying does to us too. We worry about all these different things. You know, the Bible says we can't add a hair to our head. We can't add an inch to our height. And worrying just doesn't do any good. And we think, well, it does me good. Well, give me an example where it does you good. You worry about all these different situations. Half of them never come true. And you know what else worry does? Not only does it cause you to stay awake at night, but it causes physical problems. Anybody have an ulcer or acid reflux? Oh, guess where that comes from? Dun, 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 dun. Stress, worry, name whatever you want. And you know, the worst thing about worry is, you know what that shows really is that we don't trust God. And the funny thing is, guess who got you where you are today? The Lord. Guess who answered all those other prayers you had? Oh yeah, was that guy too, the big guy? Yeah, the Lord did that. And so why can't we trust him with these other problems? So when you think about worry, worry really is kind of silly. As hard as it is to leave behind, that's something that we need to do. In Psalm 37, the scripture says, fret not yourself, trust in the Lord, trust in him. And when I thought, well, what do I worry about? I started naming all these things. I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff, honestly. And I started thinking, what do I worry about? And I looked at those and I could put them into two categories. Things that I can do something about and things that I can't do anything about. Well, the things that I can do something about, I need to stop worrying and get my butt out there and do something about them. And the things that I can't do anything about, well, I got to trust God with those things. That's the only two options you have, really. You know, hard work never killed anybody, but worry has killed people before. And so we got to leave our worries behind. Philippians 4:6 has a great scripture. It says this, instead of worrying, pray about everything. It's a great scripture you could memorize. That's just the beginning part. But instead of worrying, pray. So when you find yourself worried, when you find yourself upset, as soon as that happens, get on your knees and say, God, I don't know why I'm worried about this. That means I'm not trusting you, Lord. I don't want to not trust you. Help me with this problem. And see what happens. So let's leave that behind. So we leave behind our resentment. We leave behind our worries. What are some other things we should get rid of? How about our failures? Has anybody ever failed at anything? I feel like I've failed at some stuff, believe me. So we need to leave those things behind because we concentrate on our failures and they make us scared to take that next step. There was this great guy, I grew up in Chicago. There was a great guy. He was a black gentleman. He played with this brown ball and he shot some hoops for the Chicago Bulls. Anybody know what that guy's name might be? Oh, Michael Jordan, that's who it was. Yeah, he was a hero. He was on Wheaties boxes. He was on basketball cards. But you know what? He didn't start out a hero. That guy didn't even get on his high school team the first time he tried out for basketball. But now he's a legend, and not just in his own mind either. He's the first sports figure to ever become a billionaire. Michael Jordan has been successful as far as that goes. Why? Because he didn't give up, and he didn't let his failures define him. And so often we look back at our failures, and it makes us too scared to step forward and do the great things that God wants us to do. But then when I start thinking, I said, yeah, I failed before. But have I really failed? I mean, failure really is just not trying to do something. It really is just giving up. But if I try my hardest to do something, I might not achieve what I hope to achieve. But if I tried, I didn't really fail. Because at least I learned something through there. So don't let your failures define you. Move forward and do what God wants you to do. These Israelites, they were doing the same thing. They would let their failures define them. They would live for the Lord. Everything would go good. They were blessed. Life was great. And then after a couple hundred years, they'd turn their back on God and they wonder, why is everything going so terrible? Well, God says that he could turn failure into success in our life. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 8:33 and 34. It says, when your people, Israel, have been defeated by enemies because they sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, then you will hear from heaven, and you will forgive their sins, and you will bring them back to their land, to their forefathers. So what this is saying is the only time you could possibly fail is if you're not living for the Lord. If you're living for the Lord, then you've done what you were supposed to do. You may not have done it to your expectations. You may not have achieved what you wanted to achieve. But if you're trying to do it because God sent you there to do it, then you are successful. I don't know about you, but I needed to hear that. There's been many times I've gone and done jail ministry. I've done counseling for couples. And things hadn't worked out so well. And I look back and I'd say, man, I failed them. Or I let them down. They got out of jail. They were reading the word every day. They got out of jail. Now they're right back in there. Maybe if I would have said something else. And then I was reminded by Isaiah 55 where it says that God's word will go forth and do what it was meant to accomplish. And it's not about what I do. It's about what the Lord's word does. So see, if you're living for God, you really can't fail. So don't let whatever those things are that you're disappointed in define you. Get rid of them. Move forward. We've got things to embrace. The next thing as we leave 2017, I was thinking, what else do we need to do? Well, we probably need to look back at our lives first and think about, do we really believe in God? Or do we just say we believe in God? You see, there's a big difference there. A lot of people can say they're Christians. Nobody can argue with you. A lot of people could wear nice little Christian jewelry, crosses, nice little what would Jesus do bracelets, nice Christian t-shirt. Nobody stop you from doing that in the United States. It's not what I'm asking you is, do you look like a Christian? Anybody can dress up and put on a costume and look like a Christian. What I'm asking is, deep inside your heart, are you a Christian? Listen to what this says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. So in other words, look deep within your heart. Ask yourself the question, do I know Jesus? Do I try to live for him? Or do I just say I know Jesus? Because the funny thing is, you could trick me. You could trick that person sitting next to you. But you can't trick the Lord. He knows what's going on in your heart. You can look perfect. You can look like a heavenly saint to me. But when you get up to that heavenly judgment throne, I don't want you to hear those words, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, it's not about actions. It's about our heart. It's not enough just to say you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you live for him? Do you believe that? And so as we think about this, leaving 2017, we think, well, I'm going to leave resentment behind. I'm going to do my best, Pastor, to try to leave worries behind. I'm going to try to leave my failures behind. But I don't know. I'm going to have a tough time. It's going to be a tough struggle. Think about this. Anybody ever gone to a circus back in the day when we had circuses? I was so sad when I heard that Ringling Brothers and Barlum and Bailey was dying. That it was done. But you know, it wasn't the circus that I was used to. When I was a kid, maybe it's because I was small. But I went to a three-ring circuses in Chicago when I was a kid. There was so much stuff to look at, I couldn't even see everything. I was so excited. Going to the circus was better than going to the zoo, better than going to Six Flags Amusement Park. I mean, it was awesome. You saw these elephants that were way bigger than you. You saw giraffes. You saw monkeys. You saw all kinds of crazy tricks. People breathing fire and doing stuff. It was cool. I loved the circus. Think about the trapeze person. I always thought, out of all the circus people, between the ones that get into the cage with the lion, those guys are a little crazy, I think, and the trapeze people, those guys must be a little crazy. Because you think about, they're way, way up high. They have no net to catch them. So what if they slip? You ever been nervous and your hands are sweaty? That would have been me. Even if I knew how to do all the tricks, my hands would have got sweaty. I would have slipped and fell and broke my neck in front of a million people. People would have been like, oh, that was a good trick. Woo! Until the ambulance came out and carried me off. But how do you get to that next trapeze? How do you do it? You have to let go of the one that you're holding on to, right? Think about the monkey bars as a kid. Anybody ever played on monkey bars? How do you get to the next monkey bar? You got to let go of the one that you're holding on to so you can grab onto the next one. Maybe that'll help you think about how to let go of some of that stuff. You can't move forward into the future unless you let go of some of that stuff in the past. And so, all right, letting go of the stuff in the past, you got kind of an idea about that. How do we grab a hold of the future? I mean, how do we really take everything that God has in store for us moving forward in 2018? How do we say, like, I want those blessings. I want to know more about God. I want to be more in God's will. I want to help people. I want to serve people. I want to feel fulfilled in my life. I want to be happy in my job. I want to be happy in my marriage. How do we grab a hold of that future? Well, I think part of that is by realizing how much time we have left. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 5, 15 and 17, it says, be very careful how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So if we're going to make the best out of our future, we got to realize our time on earth is limited. You know, when you're young, you think you're going to be alive forever. Think your hips will never hurt, your joints will never hurt. And boy, it's true, like I told you, till you reach 30, then it's all over. It's a downhill battle from there. But you don't really think that you're ever going to die. You talk to a person in high school and you say, so what are you going to do after you pass away? Where are you going to go? They don't say that. What do they tell them? What do you want to be when you grow up? What kind of job do you want? Do you want a career? Do you want to go into the military? Do you want to go into the workforce? They never say, where are you going to go when you die? Nobody thinks about that when you're young. But the scripture says that our days are numbered. There's going to be a time when we're going to meet the Lord. And even though our lives seem so long, in reality, they're really short. Ask somebody who's above the age of 60. They'll tell you it seems like the years fly by faster and faster every year. But when you're a kid, they didn't come soon enough, did they? Boy, I can't wait till I'm 16 so I get my driver's license. I can't wait till all this junk gets over, till Christmas comes. I get that present I've always wanted. I can't wait till this. Now as older people, they're like, slow down a little. My gosh, why is there all these decorations for Valentine's Day? Christmas just got over. Can we just calm down and slow everything down a little bit? Years start flying by when you get older. So the time you have, it's a time that's numbered. And so we need to really decide, if you want to grab a hold of that future, how are you going to change your lives to really live for the Lord in 2018? Because you see, the future you have really is the next second. God says he didn't promise you tomorrow. Every gift, every day is a gift from our Father above. Every day. And so we're not even promised tomorrow. So we better live for God today what we have today. Amen? And you know, I started thinking, Why isn't every church in Emporia, Kansas filled to the brim? Maybe pastors only think about that stuff. But I thought, why? Why is it not? We have 51 churches, I think, in Emporia. And we have a whole lot of people, over 20,000 people in Emporia. And so if you do the math, every single church in Emporia should be filled. Is it because people don't care about what happens when they die? Is it because people aren't thinking about it? Why? Why aren't they filled? And I started thinking, maybe it's because of people like me. Or maybe it's because of people other church people. Maybe they look at us and they say, well, you claim to believe in this perfect God and all these perfect things, but you're not perfect. You're a hypocrite. Maybe it's because we don't admit when we're wrong. Maybe it's because we don't live like Christ. Maybe it's because we don't look like Christ. Maybe it's because we're scared to invite people to church. We're scared what they might think of us. Folks, we need to stop worrying about what people think of us. Start worrying about what the Lord thinks about us. Because let me just be frank with you. That friend, that neighbor, that person who's teasing you, they're not judging you. Doesn't matter. When you get to heaven, it's going to be you and the Lord. Who cares if you made old Bob happy? You better live your life to make the Lord happy. He's the one that's going to be up there judging us. And for us Christians, he's going to be judging us. He's going to say, here's all the great gifts. Here's all the wonderful things I've given you. What have you done with them? Then he'll give you rewards for those things. Then there's another judgment for those that don't know the Lord as their Savior. And well, we know where they're going to go. I don't want anybody to go there. I want us to be more bold in inviting people to church. I want us to be more bold in our faith. I want us to live like lights that shine for the Lord. So if we want to grab a hold of this future, we got to kind of stop thinking about ourselves. And we got to start thinking about the Lord. Amen? That's how we get ahead. The psalmist wrote this, says, our life lasts no longer than the vapor of our breath. It is here and then it is gone. I ran into a website many years ago. I shared it with a couple of people. It's called deathclock.com. I don't advertise that. It won't be on our church website. We won't be linking to that or anything. But it may be something interesting for you to look at. Deathclock.com. We have all kinds of clocks. Alarm clocks, atomic clocks, sundials. You know what Death Clock does? Is you enter in some information, and they calculate the average lifespan of a man is about 75 years, and for women it's 80 years. And then based on if you're pessimistic or sadistic or optimistic or whatever. And for $100, or for free on their website, they'll show you how many seconds you have to live. They'll personalize that clock for you. They'll put your name, Alan Barris Jr., at the bottom. From the time you call them, they'll go ahead and set it up, and they'll send it to you so you can put it on your desk. Oh, well, I only have 10,000 more seconds to live. Boy, that's terrible. When I first saw that, I thought, man, that is terrible. Absolutely terrible. But you know, the Bible tells us that our days are numbered. That we really don't have more than but 70 or maybe 80 years to live on earth. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, we live to be about 70, or we may live to be 80 if we stay healthy. But all that time is filled with trouble and sorrow. The years quickly pass and then we are gone. So I thought about that death clock. I put my information in before I came to church today. And based on that information, on May 2nd of 2046, I will die. Say, well, that's pretty long in the future. Well, it is for you, but if this is my future, it's saying. So I'm like, what does that mean? How old am I going to be? Like, this is bad. Then I think, what do these people know? They don't know anything. Only the Lord knows the days. But you know what it did? It woke me up and said, boy, I better start living for the Lord today. I wouldn't have one of those clocks. I don't think it's a funny joke. I don't think you should buy it for anybody. That clock sit up there and tell you, count down the seconds of your life based on some calculation. You know, if I live to be the ripe old age of 75, I only have 11,500 days left. 11,500 days left to live. That might seem like that's a pretty long time. Well, you know, I lived over 15,000 days already. So that means over half my life is over. In the limited time that I have left, how should I be living it? You know, it's funny, you can ask people in church or outside of church. They expect their pastor or a pastor to be an upright man that stands up for the truth and the word of God. Why is it any different for the people that sit in the pews? Shouldn't be. So I think knowing that information, any sane person would say, I don't know how much time I have left. I'm going to change my life and I'm going to live for the Lord today. So folks, as I get ready to close, I want to tell you, it's time to wake up from our slumber like the scripture says in Romans 13:14. You got to get up. You slept long enough. We don't know when the life is going to be over for us here on earth. So it's time to wake up and start living for Jesus today. We can't afford to waste a minute of the new year. We can't squabble any time away. Instead of wasting your time this year with bickering and arguing and putting each other down and all that silly stuff, that should be gone. You don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow, so stop being silly today. Live your life for the Lord today. That's what Paul's telling the Romans. It's time for us Christians to get out of bed, get dressed, and clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So church, you have a choice. 2018 is filled with endless possibilities. Endless possibilities. Maybe one of you goes on a missionary trip, helps somebody out. Maybe you help a neighbor. You might have somebody in your family that's feeling great today but develops cancer this year. Hope not. You might be the greatest minister they've ever had. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe this year you'll get the job of your dreams. Maybe this year you'll have the baby you've always been wanting. Who knows what'll happen this year? The possibilities are endless. But you got to make the choice. You can go through 2018 just like you did with 2017, carrying all that baggage, carrying all those resentments, carrying all those worries, carrying all those failures. Or you can cut the umbilical cord to that stuff. And you can move forward to 2018 and you can start living your life really for Christ. It's up to you. You've heard the message. You've heard the words from the scripture. Now you have to make the decision. Do you want to live for the Lord with a couple days that you have left? Hopefully it's many. Or do you want to live for yourself? At the end of the day, the only person that can be responsible for their decision is you. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for the time that we've had on earth, Lord. God, we thank you for the life that we've been able to live. But God, there are so many different things that are going on in our lives, God, that we let affect the future. Lord, help us. Give us the strength to cut those things off. God, help us not to hold resentment, to hold unforgiveness. Help us to get rid of that. Lord, help us to get rid of those worries. We can't do anything about it. If we're worried about something we can do something about, then let us get out there and do something about it. Lord, if we have failures in our past, help us not to let those define us. We're a new creation in Christ. Whatever happened then, Lord. We're here to live for you today, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage to do that, God. Lord, help us to realize as we move on to the future, our days are short, like the psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 10. You know, we may have 70, maybe 80 years of life. The days are short. Let us live them for you, Lord. Jesus, we don't know when you're returning. We don't know when you're coming back to get us. We don't know when our last day or our last breath might be. Lord, help us to stop rolling the dice. Help us to stop taking the risks. Help us just to rededicate our lives and get back with you today. Lord, if there's somebody here, God, that has traveled far away from you and they're struggling with getting back, I just ask them, Lord, give them the strength to come and pray. Maybe there's somebody here who's just got worries on their mind, constant worries. Lord, their life is being ruined. Their ulcers could be created. Stress is created. Acid reflux. All these problems because of these worries. Maybe they're worrying about something today. Lord, give them the strength to come up here and pray and just say, you know what, God? I'm done with this worry. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here who's been deeply hurt by a family member or a friend, and they have a little resentment in their heart. Resentment is no way to live life. God, help us to give that up. Lord, it's not about us, it's about you, Lord. God, teach us. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior today, and they want to come and say, you know what? I'm going to start this new year out right. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe that you are the Lord of all and that you conquered everything. And Lord, I want to ask you to come and to be in my heart today. Whatever you have to pray about, you're welcome to come pray at these altars.